Michael mentioned this, the community service part of the meeting here, where
Howard and I will talk about some community efforts we're doing, hopefully on behalf of all of us. First, I want to report on something that hopefully you all know about. Many of you heard what I presented at the PSP meeting 2 months ago. And so I'll, just for those who haven't heard about it, I'm going to run through who the roundtable was, how we were composed, and what we did, but then talk about the reaction since the report came out. And the most important thing I want you to know about are recent developments as of yesterday with the House, U.S. House of Representatives, putting on the floor a bill called the America Competes Act, which funds a good fraction of science in this country, which has some essential language. So the roundtable came out of discussions a year ago, built around many of the things we have heard about in this meeting, including this morning, the debate over access. Is there an access problem? I'm relatively new to your industry. I've been involved for about 3 years. I was a working scientist for three decades. And I was dismayed over the acrimony in the debate between publishers and academicians, traditional allies for 3.5 centuries. And the debate's been raging for about 10 years. It's a little sign in the last year of easing up. This association, I think, should take heart in the fact that it invites librarians, invites all sides of the debate to discuss in such forums. And I think we have to move steadily in that direction. How long can any industry alienate its primary customers? Not that we do that routinely or by design, but this debate, because it's become so polarized, has accentuated that. And I believe this roundtable effort, even though not everyone agreed with how what was said in the report, it has already changed the tone and the nature of the debate, and I hope to show you with what was put on the House floor this week is having a positive effect. Now, I don't have to remind you what the debate's about. If you ask anyone in surveys we heard about this morning, would they like to get something free? What's the answer? The course of yes, okay? And now if you want to ask an author, do they want their work to be available across the world for any scholar, aligned, independent, or otherwise, they will say yes. Now you ask the same author, are they willing to pay for it? Well, you get a very different answer. Let's let the library do that. But scholarship will be improved by wide access, okay? And since most of basic scholarship is paid for by some government agency or a foundation, you want accountability and transparency of that. Okay, so those are all very positive things. And note, I didn't have a page here on negative things. I used the word cautionary because, as we've discussed this morning, we hopefully will learn, because this industry was very early, a pioneer in going online, that we will not make some of the same mistakes that the newspaper industry and the music industry has. And we bring all the values that are well known to this audience. And there is a role for government here, but I think we want that role to be appropriate and measured. And there, on both sides of the debate, there are common grounds. Look, the economy affects all of us, especially the last 18 months, okay? We all agree that this is essential for scholarship, and we want a incremental transition to sustainable mixture of models, too. There's no such thing, I think, in this such a diverse industry as one business model. Even a transition from one dominant model to another. We're too diverse, 25,000 different scholarly journals, okay? And what has upset myself and the colleagues on this committee is that the polarization of the debate has prevented the kind of conversations which would generate solutions and has prevented us from dealing with the government saying, here's an appropriate role for government to play. So the roundtable was convened by a very important committee of the U.S. House of Representatives called the House Science and Technology Committee. It also worked in association with the President's Science Advisor Office. And we started talking about it last January, and the committee was convened by Bart Gordon, Representative Bart Gordon, who chairs the House Science Committee last June. We worked together through most of the year and issued a report on January 12th. And if you just Google the House Science Committee or the Scholarly Publishing Roundtable, you'll find a modest 20-page report. Please read it. Okay, it's not that long. And just don't stop at the executive summary. We had a relatively simple charge. Here it is. We were originally asked to look at access to the results of all federally funded research, including the gray literature on the front end, grantee reports, publications, data. Too big a problem. The grantee reports is actually is a matter of law, and it should just be done. The data problem is going to go on, and it'd be an important part of our industry, since we are all learning to embed data in our journals. So we just focused on the minor problem of access to scholarly publications. The most important part about the roundtable was the type of people who made it up. We felt it was very important to put a group of people that represented you, both for-profit and non-profit publishers. There were four of us listed there. YSG, who was here earlier in the week, was on it. Mark Patterson from PLOS. Myself, Chrisman Taylor from American Society of Plant Biology, and you know he's the North American chair of ALPS. On the library side, earlier today you saw Ann Okerson here. She was involved, our speaker at our fall meeting, Scott Pluchek from Alabama, is a medical librarian and started the Chicago Collaborative. Paul Courant, Dean of Libraries at Michigan, formerly the Provost at Michigan, also an economist. If you look through this list here, you'll find many double agents. The committee tried to find, even triple agents, okay, tried to find people who were willing to devote the time to this and brought something to table and an awareness of all sides of the issue, particularly the provost. The provost pay the librarian's bills. A librarian cannot do anything without the chief academic officer. And if you count Paul, there were four provosts on the committee. All three of these provosts listed under academia here have publishing experience. They are editors of journals and involved in business side of journals. It was chaired by a very good neutral chair. John Vaughan is the executive vice president of the American Association of Universities and an intellectual property expert. We had access to the expertise you heard about this morning from Susie. Carol Tenneper and Don King were on. We had access to, and Phil Davis, and I should say there were, I'm looking at Mark Seeley in the back there. Mark subbed for YSG, and it was absolutely essential to put the kind of language in the report about this industry's liberal view of what fair use means as opposed to other industries that use copyright. That was very important. So you will find in the report two general results sections. There's a section on shared principles, and there's a section on recommendations. Shared principles I don't have to spend any time on. It's what we talk about all the time, the value of peer review, the fact that we are a very diverse business with many business models. It is evolving, and I think I agree with the sentiments this morning that even in times of rapid change, when you're dealing with an $8 billion industry that millions of academics look at, the time scale change is years. It's not weeks. We could not quantify the lack of access. That's a very difficult problem to do, but we all agreed that access can always be improved. Archiving and preservation are very important because what does it mean in a digital article? And, of course, we spent the morning talking about interoperability of our various platforms. broad agreement on those things. The core recommendation can be easily misinterpreted if that's the only thing you take out of the report, but we recognize that the U.S. government, which probably puts something like $50 billion into basic research and applied research that eventually ends up paying publication fees from the author side to subscriptions, has a right to develop a public access policy. But we told them they should do this very carefully and expeditiously, and they should do it with the stakeholders at the table. The desired outcome is wide access. When? As soon as possible. How you do all this, given the importance of the enterprise to scholarship, is what needs to be worked out in a continuously evolving process. So the specifics were more important than that core recommendation. And you will note in the report that it did not make a specific recommendation that the government should pass this mandate. And I'll come back to that in terms of what's happening in the U.S. House this week. We thought the existence of the roundtable, with its consultative, deliberative approach with all the stakeholders at the table, was probably more important than the report. That's how the solutions had to be implemented, developed, and monitored with that sort of thing. We had the two probably most controversial items were uses of embargoes, delayed release, as a means for the dominant business model, subscription-based, to recover some costs or a good fraction of the cost before an article is launched outside of the firewall. And you will see some very cogent language in there about one size doesn't fit all. There are well-funded fields of science that a gold open access model has been demonstrated to work. PLOS is a very good example. There are a number in our field. But there are fields of science, like mathematics and the social sciences, where an author pays model would be very difficult. And so we made very strong statements about a simple mandate solving all the problems. With regard to a very important series of recommendations on interoperability, I think those of us in the roundtable surprised ourselves. We were asked to discuss access, and we realized that access was built into a more important problem of interoperability. What does a scholar really want to do? We heard it again this morning. They want to access articles quickly, and they want an accurate means of doing that. And you want to get to the version of record. Okay? You look up an article on Google, and you'll find five different ones. What is the version of record where you have the final peer-reviewed information? You'll see a big plug in this section for CrossRef and their initiative, which they launched last year, called CrossMark, which would allow an electronic watermark on the version of record and allow a publisher to have a stewarded version on some repository that links back. We thought this was extremely well-timed, and with that specific recommendation and with the general recommendation that CrossRef was an example of what this industry can do working together, that the government can't do alone. We stressed in this report that the government cannot solve these problems by themselves. They need the publishers at the table. So I've said all that now. So what's been the reaction since the report has come out? This organization, very shortly after the report came out, put up on their website a reaction which I think was measured. If I had to write the report, the letter that came out, it probably would have been very similar. I'm a publisher the last 3 years. Okay, I did not write this report as a publisher. I wrote this report as a collaborator. Was I fully backing every single word? No. But every one of us in that group walked out with a little blood on either side because we were looking for a consensus solution. You will see a reasonable amount of media coverage. It is surprising that we didn't get highly polarized responses from either side of the debate. I consider that a success. You'll be seeing in about a week or so an important statement coming from AAU, which is, as we heard earlier in the week, is the premier association of research universities in this country, and their intellectual property committee is issuing a statement in about a week. Most responses from the various people on either academia or the publishing community that looked at the report, I think, respected the approach. They wanted this deliberative process to continue, and they supported the general principles. If you look at what publishers said specifically, I think it's the usual concerns about unnecessary government intervention and unintended consequences of government mandates, differing opinions on the embargoes, how you treat the version of record, all important issues. On the other side, I think there was disappointment that there wasn't a flat recommendation that this is what the government should do and there should be a simple mandate for all scholarly publications. And again, some disagreements on how the linking happens. What happens next? All of us on the roundtable felt that our report and our time would have been wasted if the report got shelved and nothing happened. And we have been going around at meetings like this talking about it, publishing meetings, library councils, library meetings, the university association. And we have committed to take it to the next step, even though we are haven't been officially depaneled or repaneled by the House Science Committee. We feel that we can keep this process going and have to keep it going. And I'm happy to report to you that this past week, on Thursday night, a version of the America Competes bill was put out, and it was negotiated by staff until it was presented at the committee floor yesterday. And I have to remind you, those of you who are Americans, how important this bill was 3 years ago, August of 2007. It was probably the most important bill for the funding of science in the last 25 years. It was passed 92-8 in the Senate. Do you remember those days? Okay. A similar majority in the House. It basically was a response to the Rising Above Gathering Storm report by the Augustine Committee that said we have to reinvigorate the funding of science and science teaching. And it put many of the physical science agencies on a doubling path, which actually happened over the last 3 years. This bill expires on October 1, and it had to be reauthorized. So if you take the time, it's a 220-page bill, and it provides a 5-year reauthorization of about $1 billion worth of science. We would be suicidal if we, as a community, did not support this bill. Buried in the 220 pages are 2 pages on public access. And is it everything that we, as publishers, would like to see in these 2 pages? No. But what it does do is continue the deliberative process with us at the table. Not exactly the way we wanted, but it's there. And I've extracted some key sentences. It's requiring the President's Science Advisor Office to put a working group under something called the National Science and Technology Council. These are the agency heads for any agency that funds science. It's a group of feds. Can they solve this problem by themselves? No. I've had 3 agency heads admit that to me. Okay? And they're to develop policies for the dissemination and the interoperability of research data and publications. It's important to listen to what I just said. This doesn't mandate that that should be public access in a certain time period with a certain embargo period. It's almost more important what this doesn't say as to what it says. And it continues the deliberate process. Solicit input from and collaborate with. Those of you who remember the NIH experience, you may have had input, but you had no collaboration. And this is very important. This is the international STM. Work with international counterparts to maximize interoperability. And here's a sustainable clause. Establish priorities with respect to the benefit, potential economic impact on science, engineering enterprise, and the stakeholders. Okay? So those are very positive things. It's not everything we want. It's just the first version of the bill on the committee floor. It has to go to the full House. There has to be a Senate version. But I'm often accused of being an optimist, but I think there's too much power behind this bill for it not to go through in some way. So that's I want you to take that bit of good news home with you. And I yield the floor to the other important community service effort. We were very important to show the importance of a multi-party nonprofit organization, Crossref, and what it has done for interoperability. And Howard's going to tell you about the ORCID project.